You're listening to a message from Pastor Jack Holt at The River.
You know, this morning, the message I'm ministering on, I struggled quite a bit trying to get a message today that would minister to the ladies as well as everyone else. And I want to talk this morning about the refreshing that comes from the Holy Spirit. And I think it's so important that we understand that there's some things you cannot be refreshed in without the Holy Spirit of God ministering to us. Because how many know that when you go through life, we all go through things, but sometimes we don't get over some of the things we go through. Maybe a broken relationship, maybe losing your home, maybe a friendship dissolving, and we go through these things, but we don't always get over it. I'm going to show you today that God not only redeems us from external things, but he redeems us from things inside. And many times people, because they haven't been able to get over things, it begins to affect their belief that all things are still possible. I like to liken it onto this. When you don't get over something that you went through, it's like being on a ship and throwing the anchor out. The anchor drags in the bottom, and even though you want to go faster, you can't because of the anchor that is out. And what I hate about it the worst is this, that whenever you don't get over something, it affects how you believe. And you stop believing all things are possible and start believing that some things are possible. And I want you today to believe that everything's possible. Everything's possible in your family. Everything's possible in your health. Everything's possible, and that God wants to refresh you today in the Spirit. And everybody that loved the Lord said amen and amen. Because I don't want you to lower the bar of your belief system. And when you don't get over things, you lower the bar. And once the bar is lowered, there will be things you just can't believe for. Amen? So I want you to take a look up on the screen. I'm going to show you the church at Ephesus, and we'll go through a few verses here. It says, to the angel of the church at Ephesus, the word there for angels, angelos, it means messenger. These things says he who holds the seven stars in the right hand, that's the seven churches, who walk in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, that means amongst the churches. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil, and you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered, and you have patience, and have labored for my namesake, and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you and quickly remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Now, this is really a very powerful verse because it's talking about a church. This church at Ephesus, this is the church that the mother of Jesus went to. This is the church that John, the Apostle John, went to. And this is the church that the Apostle Peter started in his revival. And the scriptures tell us, these are, I'm going to share some scriptures that are not in your Bible, but they were considered to be reliable. They said that the Apostle Paul went into the area of Ephesus, and he rented the school of Tyrannus, which is a philosopher's school. He rented it during the time of siesta. In the hot climate, people would sleep during the time the heat was up. And he rented it for 5 hours a day, 7 days a week. This revival that went on was 7 days a week. There was no time off, 5 hours a time. And it was so dramatic that Paul said that he did special miracles. Now, I've seen a lot of miracles, but special ones are the ones that you don't share with people because they wouldn't believe you if you told them. They're special miracles. And it was all because of this desire for the presence of God that God had touched them, that he's talking about in this text. And I want to know, I want you to understand that he says you have left your first love. Say first. How many know first is really the most exciting part? The first time you bought your new house. The first time that you got married. The first time that you had a baby. The first time you put one of your kids on the school bus and they went off. The first time you married off your daughter, which was really a bummer for me, but praise the Lord. It's the first time. He's talking about the first time that God's Spirit initiated his love towards you. The Bible says in 1 John that we love him because he what? First loved us. You weren't seeking God. God was seeking after you. You weren't trying to find him. God was trying to find you. And he's the one that initiated your salvation. He's the one that opened your eyes. And that affects you in a powerful way when you understand that. And here the church was responding to this love that God had given them, and they had developed this belief, how do I say, in the presence of God. They loved the presence of God, and they had walked away from that. It was no longer convenient to wait on the Lord to fall. It was no longer convenient. And he wants them to correct that, or they're going to lose the anointing in the church. And notice he says this. He says, I want you to return to your first love. But the question is, how can you return to something if you haven't experienced it? How can you return to an area if you've never been there? How can you return to an experience if you haven't experienced it? Now, I know a little bit about this. And one of the things I know this about the Lord is that when the Holy Spirit manifests, there's many different responses the person has to the Holy Spirit. To give you an example, you remember the impartation of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, where everyone was filled with the Holy Ghost and they began to speak in other tongues? And it said that the people outside that heard all this going on, they said, these people are drunk. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never had anybody accuse me of being intoxicated when I was praying in the Spirit. Never happened. Now, if I go back to the days before I got saved, I'll tell you what drunks do. Drunks fall over. Drunks shake. Drunks laugh uncontrollable. Drunks can sit in a spot and not be able to get up. I believe that the Spirit had affected them to such a degree that the crowd looked at them and said, there's something going on. They are under the influence of something. It was under the influence of the Holy Spirit. There was a refreshing that fell on the day of Pentecost. And here's the beauty thing about it. The church at Ephesus, he's saying, listen, I want you to go back and I want you to get that fresh fire that you had before you stepped away from it. And what happens is through life, we go through things, but sometimes we don't get over things. We go through a bad relationship, but we don't get over the bad relationship. We go through financial lows, but we don't get over it. We go through a sickness and disease, but we don't get over the fear of it. And Satan comes in and uses that spot. And in that spot, he begins to rebuild for the second attack, for the third attack, for the fifth attack to sink your ship. And what I'm telling you this morning is this. God wants to refresh you in the Spirit. He wants to heal your heart. He wants to heal your doubt. He wants to hear your fears. He wants to heal all those things in your life so that Satan has no place and you can once again believe that God, that with God, all things are possible. Can we give him a praise offering right now? Thank you, Lord. Woo! That's what he wants. You know, David, he had a passion for the presence of God. We see it in Psalms 42, verse 1. He said this. This was after his son had rebelled against him and he had fled for his life outside of the temple. And he says this, as a deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for thee, O God. Now, if you didn't know Hebrew, you understand that the word deer there is talking about a female deer, not a male deer. There's a difference. Male deers have horns. They have a rack, amen? And what they do is they get out into the fields and kneel down and their antennas become like radiators and cool their bodies down. So the males are not hot like the females. The females are hot. Thank you. The guys are hesitating and clapping right now, but it is true. Come on, say amen. So he uses an animal that has tremendous thirst to be refreshed. and says, I'm like that when it comes to the presence of God. Listen, maybe you come out of a traditional church, maybe you've never been in church before and you never heard anything like this before, but the presence of God is omnipresent, but there is a tangible presence of God that falls in corporate worship, that falls in corporate praise, that falls when we get together in faith. It is a presence of God that has great power to deliver you. And what I love about it the most is that it heals your hearts. And I love the prophecy in Revelation 2, because it goes on and he says, if you overcome in this area and get back to your first love, he says, I'm going to let you partake of the tree of life. He's not talking about eternal life. He's talking about what Solomon said about the tree of life. He said, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desire fulfilled is a tree of life. He says, if you get back this refreshing, I'm not only going to heal your hearts, but I'm going to give a fulfillment, contentment, peace. I'm going to give you everything that's been in your heart that you wanted. I'm going to fulfill, oh, praise God. In other words, you cannot lose when you have his presence in your life. And I like to say it this way. You need to, as a Christian, practice the presence of God. I realize you can't do it necessarily the way that you could do it in church, on your job, but we need to practice the presence of God to receive the blessing. Psalm 16:11 says that in his presence is the fullness of joy. And on his right hand are pleasures forevermore. A Hebrew word for pleasure means riches. In other words, if you got God's presence, you got his riches. This is what I love about the presence of God. When the presence of God is magnified in a person's life, God becomes so much bigger than the problem that you're facing. In other words, it's not hard to face the problem when God manifests, because God becomes so big to you. Go, that's no big deal. We can handle that. We can get through that. There's something about it, because God, what God wants to do is he wants to restore those of you that have been hurt by something that you couldn't get through, something that you couldn't get over, something that you couldn't change, something that was you couldn't change. He wants to heal that. He wants to restore that. He doesn't just want to restore what's on the outside. He wants to restore on the inside. He wants to restore the hurt and the pain that has been inside of you since you believed on Christ. Because Satan loves to get you to get bitter. He loves to get you in a place where you give up and you have this heart that no longer reaches out to God. No, because you're hurt. You're in pain. You draw back instead of draw forward. God's Spirit wants to refresh you so that you seek him with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your power. And you just seek him and he begins to transform you and change you in those areas. And God is so rich in his mercy. Amen? Amen. Look at this verse and I'll show this to you. This is Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. It says, it shall come to pass in that day that the burden will be taken away from your shoulder. Without the presence of God, life will become a burden. But with God's Spirit, he lifts. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, for it is easy, my burden is light. And his yoke from your neck. Now watch this. And the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. Now watch this. It says the anointing, which is a manifestation of power connected with the presence of God. If you have an anointing, you have God's presence. There's a power to it. And it says it will destroy the yoke that has kept you depressed, the yoke that has robbed you of your joy, the yoke that gives you this doubt and unbelief, this yoke that causes you to fear at night when you sleep. The anointing will break that. It'll destroy that. So obviously the presence of God is something that we really need in the church. And I love what it says in scriptures. It says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Whenever the Holy Ghost shows up, God's presence, there's a freedom from the worry. There's a freedom from the fear. There's a freedom from this. And listen, church, we need that. And as I minister to you, mothers, listen to me. Being a mother's hard because you nurture. And you believe in your children. You believe this. And through the things you go through, there's times when your head's going, it doesn't seem to be working. It doesn't seem to be working. I'm telling you that God wants you to have a heart that is constantly healed and whole, that keeps believing that all things are possible, believing that he can come out of it, believing that she can come out of it, believing that it can be better, believing that their new marriage can last, believing that, come on, that you, he wants you to have that. And it's going to come when we embrace this fresh love, this love. I love this because I've been in my own life, been through times when I got hard in my heart. And do you ever notice that preachers never tell you that there's anything wrong with their heart? Oh, I'm a preacher, everything's fine. But many pastors are hurting in their heart. Only the refreshing of the Spirit can heal that. It's the only one that can do it. You can't do it with psychology, you can't do it medicating, only God can heal your heart. And if you forget that, you'll quit thirsting for his presence. When Joyce and I are on vacation, one of the things that I love more or equal to hearing the word is to be in the worship service. I love to be in a worship service when I'm on vacation because the presence of God falls on me. Now, some of you go, well, I don't really want, you know, I don't really enjoy it. I just like to get some teaching and go home, listen to me carefully. It could be, just could be, that maybe you haven't experienced his first love. Because when you experience his first love, you naturally are drawn to his presence. And you go, I just want to be with you again. There's something so powerful about being in a room and you sense God's presence in the room with you. There's something so powerful when you're in a storm knowing that Jesus is in the midst in the storm with you. There's something so powerful when you just feel like giving up, but yet Jesus shows up and there's a manifestation of his presence in your life that gives you the ability to break through and break out of whatever it is that's trying to oppress you and destroy you in your life. There's something very powerful about this. Satan will revisit the past in your life because he wants a stronghold, he wants a foothold. He'll remind you of all the mistakes that you made in your life, all the mistakes your husband made, all the mistakes your pastor made. He will remind you of all those mistakes because he knows that's the only way that he can get a grip in your life. Only the presence of God can change that. Now, I will say this, and this is so important. Whenever you're looking at people's life and you see somebody doing this and doing that and doing this bad behavior, one of the things you need to always remember is this: why are they acting that way? And 9 times out of 10, the reason why they're doing what they're doing is because of something that happened to them in the past, something they went through that they didn't get over, something they experienced but they didn't get over, like the woman that was caught in adultery. We always go, oh, bad, bad woman. But why was she an adulterous woman? Why? Probably abused by men when she was growing up. Maybe she was passed around. Maybe her father made her marry someone else and he abused her. And in those days, if you wanted to divorce your wife, you could divorce her because she, you know, burnt the eggs. Maybe she was on her third husband because of that. Maybe she was raised in a family that didn't give her confidence and tell her that she could do what God wanted to, and she never felt accepted. Maybe she was in a family she didn't feel accepted. And because she didn't accept it, she would give whatever she needed to whoever just to have that artificial feeling that she's accepted. What's the reason? Jesus delivered her not just from the circumstances, but from that root that was causing her to live the adulterous life. Say amen, everybody. Praise God. Last time I checked, none of us are perfect, and God is a merciful God, and God wants to bring you through with a miracle in your life, and God wants to bless you in an overcoming faith, and God wants you to be happy, and God wants you to be fulfilled in your life. Now, I'm going to share something at this point that you get your seatbelt on. This is powerful. The faith that you have that came from the Word of God isn't human faith, it's divine faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word about Christ. Romans 12:3 says that God has dealt to each one the measure of faith. Galatians 2:20 says that it's no longer I live, but Christ lives in me, and I live by the faith of the Son of God. Do you understand how powerful that faith is when you connect it with the Spirit? It's the same faith that God created creation with. Same faith. I want you to take a look at this. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Look at this verse. Look at this. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. In other words, the world was not created out of physical substance. It was created out of something that was invisible. And it was the faith that did it. And it's that same faith that's in you. That's why in the first verse it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now here's the part, I taught on this quite a bit in detail on Wednesday night, but when the earth that we live in right now, there was a previous earth just like it. Scholars call it the Adamic age or the gap theory. And it comes from Genesis 1. Put up on the screen, if you would, Genesis chapter 1. It says, in the beginning, God created heavens and the earth. That is creating something out of nothing. Now watch the next verse. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. The word there, hovering in the Hebrew, it means fluttering over the waters, which remember, they're invisible, they're spiritual. So the Holy Spirit is on the scene, fluttering over like a mother hen over her eggs. And then God speaks and light comes. Are you following me? But here's the part. I don't want you to miss it. I don't want you to see this. You write this down for two references. We won't turn to it. But in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 18, it says this. For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who established it and did not create it, what? Vain. What does Genesis say? The earth was in vain. Here it's saying that the earth that God initially created was not in vain. Who formed it to be inhabited? I am the Lord the God and there is no other. Peter says this in his expedition of this. He said in 2 Peter 3, 5, he says, for this we willfully forget that by the word of the Lord, heavens were of, watch this, of old. Say of old. And the earth standing out of water in the water. So two verses support the fact that there was an existing earth before God created in Genesis was when he said light be. Now here's the power in this. It was invisible. But as soon as God's word spoke, it took what was invisible and made it visible. And God took what was in a chaotic state and made it orderly. He made it good. Now, if God can create creation that was wrecked and spoiled by the fall of Satan, which most theologians believe that's when it happened, then how much more can God restore your life and restore your family and restore your future and restore your breakthrough? Praise God. And you have that faith on the inside of you. Woo! Think about that. Like I said, if you want more detail on it, get the Wednesday night message. But I wanted you to catch that. That the faith that you have inside can restore you. But not outside of the Spirit. The Spirit was hovering over creation. Hovering. When you mix your faith in the anointing, you can get healed. When you put your faith in the presence of God, you can get restored. When you put your faith in what God can do in your life, he can break forth great blessings. The problem that we have is we get things stacked up against us. We get our mistakes stacked up against us. We get our fears stacked up against us. We get our ambitions that we couldn't reach stacked up against us. We get our failures stacked up against us. And Satan will revisit those things and convince you that you can't move forward. But God's Spirit, what it does is when you get in God's presence, he begins to refresh. He begins to refresh. He begins to restore. He begins to heal your heart and bring forth breakthrough in your heart and bring forth blessings in your heart. Now, let me show it to you from this standpoint. Most people, when they think of deliverance, they think of physical But God doesn't never, ever just deliver you physically or never, ever just delivers you financially. He does spiritually too. You remember the woman caught in adultery? Capital offense. She was to be stoned. Jesus delivered her from being stoned by saying, "He is without sin. Cast the first stone." From the oldest to the youngest, they walked away. She was spared from that consequence. But he didn't stop there and go, "Hey, you're off the hook, take off." He didn't do that. He said, "Listen, I'm not going to condemn you either. I'm going to remove that spiritual bondage that is in your heart right now so that you can go out and sin no more." Come on, say amen, everybody. Praise God. Remember when he healed the leper? After the leper was healed, he didn't say, "Go home." He said, "Go show yourself to the priest." Why? Because going to the priest, because he was exiled from society, they would give him a stamp of approval. He could go to church again. He could go to the marketplace again. He could build a house again. He could have a family again. It was all fixed. God wants more than just the external. He wants the internal in your life fixed. And a lot of you, like a lot of us men, we have things that we've never gotten over. Just never got over it. And like I said, as a pastor, you know, you never want to admit that you're struggling with something. But under the inspiration of the Spirit, I have to share this with you. That there's things that people don't get over with. And when they do, it affects your faith. You no longer shoot high. Your goals are too small. It affects you. We all need the healing power of Christ in our life to deliver us. We need the Holy Spirit to come in and visit us. We need not just to know that he's everywhere. We need to sense he's here. Right now in my house. Right now in my life. Got to know the Holy Ghost is there. Let me give you a verse that will help you with this. It's one I always struggled with years ago. It's in Psalms 37:4. It says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and the Lord shall give you the desires of your heart." But I never had a hard time understanding what delight means. What does delight mean? In the Hebrew, it means to pamper, to comfort, to be tender towards. That's what it means. What does he mean by that? In other words, David says, when you get in the presence of God, let him comfort you. I want you to, you know, ladies, this will relate. You go to a spa. That's what he's talking about. You go to the spa, what do? They take your shoes off, you put your little feet in the little buckets. Or maybe I'm doing this wrong. And they, you know, clean your face up, put a little whatever. Ladies, help me out. Say, "Pastor, you're trying. And you get pampered. And then you go in the shower that squirts everywhere. It squirts behind you, on the side, all that. And you get that massage or whatever, you're being pampered. That's what David is saying. He says, delight yourself in the tenderness of God. Delight yourself in the fact that the Holy Spirit is our helper, our comforter. And you know, some of us, we just need the Lord to pick us up and hold us. Can you just hold me, Lord? Some of you need to be rocked by the Lord. I know this sounds silly, but this Mother's Day, come on, give me a break. God wants you to be comforted by his Spirit. He wants you to find that sensitivity of the Holy Spirit in your life so that he can minister to you and heal you and deliver you from whatever it is that is oppressing you in your life. He wants you not only to go through it, but he wants you to get over the pain, get over the frustration, get over the fear, get over the hurt, get over the bitterness, get over the, come on, get over it. And then your faith will work in a way that will bless you in a great way. The Apostle Paul talks about this, or the scriptures talk about it in Acts. It says that there are times of refreshing from the face of the Lord, literally in the Greek what it means. It means from the presence of the Lord. And then as you read on, it says, heaven will keep Jesus until the restoration of all things occur. But the restoration of all things isn't just financially, isn't just physically, it's spiritually. Until that hurt that is in you, and America's hurting right now, is healed, Jesus waited on to heaven. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Now I came here today to do one thing. I want to impart to you something that women struggle with, men struggle with. I wanted to give you an impartation from the Spirit. Because the impartation of the Spirit is what you need to get healed from the inside. Yes, yes. You can't get any other way. I want to read you a verse. It's in Romans, and I want you to stand up. This is Romans chapter 1, verse 11. It says, For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, that you may be established. Hallelujah. I want everybody to stand up right now, if you would. Right now. Let me relate to you what I'm talking about at this point. Many people, they don't receive from God's presence simply because they don't respond in faith to it. Think about this for a moment. You remember the greatest impartation in Scripture that we know of is when the Holy Spirit was given to the church. Remember that? And in that story, if you read in 1 Corinthians 5 or 15, you'll find that it talks about Jesus appearing to 500 people, 500 of his disciples. And he tells all 500, not just the 120, all 500. He says, I want you to wait in Jerusalem till you receive power from on high. But how many were in Jerusalem? 120. My question is, what happened to the 380? Where were the 380 that God wanted to impart his Spirit to that didn't show up? I'll tell you where they were. They weren't in faith. I said they weren't in faith. You have to be willing to obey God for the impartation of the Spirit. Many years ago, I was in a place spiritually in my ministry. I was preaching hellfire and brimstone. When you came to church, if you walked out and you weren't afraid of judgment, I wasn't preaching right. I preached hard and harsh, but I was hurting inside. And I remember my wife, I got a great wife. She knew I was messed up because she saw me outside of church. She saw how I was hurting inside. It doesn't matter what hurt me. What matters is I was hurting inside. She said, honey, we're gonna go to a conference. And I said, I don't want to go to conference. She says, you're going. Now, how many know there's a time that you should submit to your wife? I knew she was right. So I said, all right, baby, let's go. And I remember we flew down to Southern California. And we were in a convention, about 2,000 people, the Holy Ghost conference. And I remember the first night we were there and the chandeliers started shaking. There was a little earthquake. But the shaking that was going on wasn't just an earthquake. It was spiritually. And I remember I looked at the list of all the teachings that were coming on. And each segment, I go, there's something wrong here, baby. I said, it says here there's a 5-hour gap in between each meeting. There's got to be a printing error. She said, no, the meetings are 5 hours long. I said, you brought me down here so I can sit in church for 5 hours for each teaching. I was furious. I was so mad, and she's snickering under her own breath because, you know, church paid for it. I got to go to it. And I remember it was the first night, and I was way in the back there. Like you guys back there, you ladies. Way in the back. And Alvin Slaughter got up and began to sing. I'll never forget. It was like rain from heaven. All of a sudden, the anointing of God began to fall on me. Wasn't just on me, it's falling. You could just feel the tangible anointing of God falling. And I remember that so distinctly. And all of a sudden, my heart started getting softer. In the next meeting, I said, well, let's set up a little closer this time. So we set up about halfway. The Spirit fell again. And every meeting, the Spirit fell. And I think it was the third or the fourth meeting, it had changed me so much that we went half an hour early. I'm jumping over chairs to get a seat right up front. Now remember, I was bitter before this started. And I remember I was sitting there in my chair and God spoke to me. He, audible voice spoke to me. He says, he's gonna stop right after he starts preaching. He's gonna say, the Lord just told me to minister to ministers. And I want you to go up. I wrote it down in my notes, put it under my desk. And he's preaching, he stops. I ran up there, he waves his hand. The power of God hit me so hard. I was knocked back 20 feet. Several guys caught me. I sat there trembling, 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 crying, broken, 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 and wept, and wept, and wept, and wept. This went on for 6 to 9 months of the church. In fact, I didn't come into staff. I stayed at home and prayed. And we'd come to church and the anointing would just fall. And people were just touched. There was a transforming of heart. And I quit preaching hellfire without love. And then I started preaching in love. And yeah, I got persecuted. Yeah, I had people write emails about me. But people got healed and people got delivered because of the refreshing of the Holy Ghost set us free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thanks for listening today. For more messages like this one, check out our podcast, River App, and our website at theriver.church. We're the river, and we're doing life together.